Let's turn in God's Word now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6. And beginning in verse 1. These are God's words, so let's hear Him as He speaks to us. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong, and defraud in that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Those are God's words. The Lord, you remember, began rebuking the church in Corinth the last chapter. And now He continues that. He rebukes them here for going to law, to the court, with one another in the church, and bringing that before unbelieving pagan judges. And He does that through verse 8 and then through verse 11 of the grave consequences of sin, and then that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who are righteous will inherit the kingdom of God, and the righteous are those who are in union with Jesus Christ. In the church, He says, those who are Christians, He says, such were some of you. You were the fornicators, you were the adulterers, you were the effeminate, but no longer. If you've turned in faith to Jesus Christ and been declared righteous in Christ in His sight, been justified, that is, then He's saying, live like it. live according to what is true of you in Christ. Righteous, not unrighteous. Be holy in Christ. Then to the end of the chapter, as he has talked about liberty, he now warns them about abusing their freedoms, abusing their liberty. It's something that we're all tempted to here in our nation, abusing our freedoms to sin. And so consider, examine your hearts. Remember, we heard this morning, your chief end is to glorify the Lord, not glorify yourself. To enjoy the Lord, not to first enjoy yourself. And so he calls you here to flee from all your fleshly passions, not only in your heart, but your body too. Why is that? Because the Spirit of Christ indwells you, Christian. He indwells not only your soul, but your body. And so we must live now accordingly. The body and our spirit are God's. They are not our own. And so we are bought with a price. We must live as servants then of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the many rebukes that you rebuke us with from your word, that though they are difficult to hear at times, we're thankful for them because we need to hear them to turn from our sins. We need to know how we've broken your law and how much more we need your Son Jesus Christ and his righteousness. How much we need your Holy Spirit and your grace to work effectually in our hearts and our lives. And so, Father, we plead that you would continue by your grace, granting us greater measure of the Holy Spirit, a greater measure of knowledge of your word. Change our wills, that we would desire righteousness, that we would no longer desire the fleshly things, the lusts of the flesh, the passions. But Father, that we would submit to your Spirit. So make us holy for your name's sake, not for our own. If for our own, then we'd be seeking our own glory. But we seek your glory. And so may you sanctify us, cleanse us for your name alone. And Father, we do plead. You not only sanctify our lives, you sanctify us in our beliefs, what we believe, our knowledge. Grant us understanding and wisdom of your word to learn what it says, to know what it means for us and how to apply it to our lives. That we would be, as we've already prayed, cleansed in our minds, in our wills, in our affections, even our emotions. And so, Father, train us. Train us to be faithful to you and to put to death, to mortify the sins of the flesh. Father, we give you thanks today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for salvation that is alone found in him. And we're thankful that you sent him, that you did not spare him or let him go, but you delivered him over. You were not passive in our salvation, but you were active in sending your Son. And he would be crucified on the cross and cursed for us, for our sins, that we might have the many blessings that are alone found in him. And so we're thankful for the good news of Jesus Christ. Pray that you would give us zeal, that we would be zealous for the gospel and proclaiming it, that the many nations would covenant with Christ, that the nation, our nation, would turn unto you. The rulers, our nation's leaders, would turn unto you and covenant with you and rule according to your word. That you would send revival throughout this nation, throughout the churches. That your Spirit would be poured out in great effect for the glory of your name and for the salvation of the nations. And we do hope in that now for the future which you've promised, that all nations will bow the knee and all nations will declare your great works. Father, we learn in this passage that we will judge the angels. Father, how humbling that ought to make us, how humbled we ought to be because of that, knowing that we will judge the angels. Father, make us holy, that we would be right and fit to judge, even those beings that you've created. But also we'll take part in Christ, who is on the throne in union with Him, the judgment of the great rebellious angel, Satan himself. Lord, we do not seem to be ourselves strong enough to judge, righteous enough to judge. But Father, grant us in Christ faithfulness to judge rightly. And Father, we ask that your name would be praised. Even today in the churches, this day, that the many would come unto salvation. We pray for those who are here, who don't know you, have turned from you, have rebelled against you, and played the fool, that you would turn them from their sins unto you. We ask for your help, even for those in the womb. We know we had this morning Alex Reed's wife here who's pregnant. Any others who may be pregnant, Father, who have children in the womb, we pray for them. That you would turn their hearts to you, those children who are conceived in union with Adam in sin and deserve the pains of hell forever, weak as they are. And yet, Father, we plead for their souls. We plead for their bodies, that you would deliver them to us and deliver them from their sins. That they would hear the gospel many times. That they would even jump in the womb or leap in the womb like John the Baptist, in the presence of Christ your Son. Lord, give us children like that who have great joy in the Holy Ghost and in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for our presbytery, thankful for it. We ask that you would continue reforming our presbytery, reform the churches of this presbytery, including ourselves, that we would not go after the traditions of men, the ways of men, and what man has created, but that we would follow after you alone in your word. And pray for the churches who need ministers, that you'd raise up faithful men, zealous to proclaim the truth and zealous for good works. And those congregations like San Antonio and Houston and Colorado Springs, provide ministers for them. We ask that you would, and plead that you would, continue the ministry here as well. And so provide for us here. And Father, we pray for our congregational meeting this Wednesday. Pray that you would grant wisdom, holiness, and righteousness in our conversation. You would draw us to the correct actions needed, and that your name and all would be praised. And so help us. Now, even this week, as we go out to our workplaces, our homes, where we many work as well, keep us from evil. Keep us from the evil one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.